An apartment with no bedroom, sometimes called a bachelor apartment or a bachelor pad. I live in a pad. There's a party going on back of my pad. There's no bedroom in my pad. I don't need one. The whole place is one big bedroom. I just bring the gorgeous girls back there and do them anywhere and everywhere. On the couch, on the kitchen table, in the tub, with their ass pressed up against the window pane. Wahoo! Go, bachelor, go! But can you imagine anybody renting and moving into something called a spinster apartment? There's no bedroom because there's no one to love. She doesn't need a big bed, but she has one anyway, for her 5 cats and her 48 pillows. And so she can roll back and forth all night, crying herself to sleep in her cold, lonely spinster apartment. Or worse yet, her spinster pad. Spinster pad sounds like something you buy in the feminine hygiene section of the drugstore. I need to buy another box of spinster pads, because clearly I'm not pregnant. The word spinster implies a certain age, too, doesn't it? I mean, nobody meets a 19-year-old and says, "What a charming young spinster." It's an outdated term. People only use it jokingly. But even jokingly, it doesn't show up till a woman's pushing 30. But a bachelor could be 31, could be 61, could be 91. It's an accomplishment. Nobody got him. He dodged all those spinsters. They tried to snatch him with their claws, but he was too fast. They tried crying, but he heard the hysterical nagging it would turn into if he married them. He's still wild and free. Wahoo! Go, bachelor, go! Hooters restaurants are all about the waitresses with big tits wearing tight tops and short shorts. Nobody's going there for the food. The food might be good, might be great, but that's not the draw, and that's not something they try and keep a secret. The place is named Hooters. The name of the restaurant is the mission statement of the restaurant. And there's no equivalent restaurant for women. There's no Peckers. Or Cox. Where the waiters are all 22 years old and buff and wear nothing but bikini briefs and keep finding conspicuous reasons to bend over right in front of the customers. If there was a place like that, there'd be a lot more gay men eating there than women. A friend of mine in Orlando, a gay guy, suggested that the Hooters for gay men should be protruders. And a woman came up to me after the show in Winnipeg one time and corrected me, said there actually was a restaurant modeled on that exact concept. It was called Peckers. It was in Fort Worth, Texas. It was Hooters for Women, went bankrupt in less than 2 years. I had a routine in one of my other shows. It's too long to recreate, but it ended with me going on this bizarre rant saying that women should not be allowed to vote, drive, or read. Instead, they should stay home, take long baths, be given extensive daily back rubs by their husbands, and be provided with chocolate. And this would often get a confused silence, as the audience thought, "Oh, we didn't like that first part. We don't think he meant it, but we loved the second part." But we're an audience with limited means of reply. And then often it would get a yelp of approval from certain women in the audience. And this became a favorite topic of conversation with me and women after the show. I mean, I obviously didn't mean it, but I would just continue the conversation and say, "But hypothetically, if there was anything you'd add to that second list, what would it be? I mean, does that cover all the bases? Back rubs, chocolates, long baths, anything else? Here's your chance. A guy is listening." "Little notes," they said. That was very consistent. They wanted their guy to leave them little notes all over the house of the apartment saying nice things. "Thinking about you. Have a good day at work, honey. Miss you already, sweetie. Having the bathroom cleaned every now and then would sure be nice, and not by them, without them having to ask. Somebody who made you laugh, somebody who listened if you had something on your mind, somebody who was caring and considerate and said I love you, and not just because you'd said it first and they felt obliged to." I really dug having these conversations, because there'd always been this bizarre sense it was forbidden to know this stuff. No man could ever know what women really want. That's impossible. That's a movie, What Women Want, with Mel Gibson and Helen Hunt. And Mel gets struck by lightning or something like that and develops the magical ability to hear women's thoughts. Think of the implication of that. That's what it takes. That's the only way a man could ever know what women want, to get struck by lightning and develop magical powers. Well, why not just ask them? So I did. Turns out they were really happy to tell me. Felt like they'd been waiting a long time for someone to ask. I realized later why it never occurred to me to ask what women want, because one of the essential things about being a guy is you're supposed to know everything already. You can't ask for help. That's why guys never ask for directions. That's an admission of weakness in front of everyone, even if you're by yourself. You've got to be as big and as strong and as omnipotent and as omniscient as your father seemed to you when you were a kid, and you never saw him bow down and ask what women want. And none of the things on the list are hard to do. I mean, nobody likes cleaning the bathroom, but it hardly takes all day. And the little notes thing, that I have to admit is not me. That's not even remotely me. But it's not difficult. If women can learn to suppress their gag reflex in order to give better head, I guess I can suppress my gag reflex and write a few cutesy little notes.